KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. There's less than 2 months left until recreational cannabis becomes lawful for California adults. And we're going to start today with two stories on how the state is preparing for that change. Marijuana legalization is expected to create a multi-billion dollar industry, much of it in cash. Cash that can't be put into a bank. Here's KQED's Katie Orr.
Because selling marijuana is still against federal law, a lot of banks won't deal with cannabis businesses. Treasurer and gubernatorial candidate John Chung yesterday released a report outlining how California can address the lack of banking. Among the suggestions, hiring armored courier services to handle the industry's cash and studying whether the state should create a public bank for cannabis businesses. But Chung admits California can only do so much.
The definitive bulletproof solution will remain elusive until the federal government removes cannabis from its official lists of banned drugs or Congress approves safe harbor legislation protecting banks that serve cannabis businesses from prosecution.
Jim Araby is with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which is working to unionize the cannabis industry in everything from cultivating and manufacturing to dispensing. He says better banking practices would also benefit workers.
A safe banking system that brings the industry out of the shadows means workers can enter the mainstream workforce, pay their taxes, and be recognized under the law.
Chung says California should join with other cannabis legal states to lobby for changes to federal law. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Meanwhile, Los Angeles County is trying to ease the negative impacts of the marijuana business on low-income communities, as KQED's Stephen Cuevas tells us.
The aim is to head off health-related problems that could blossom when the retail pot biz takes root, says County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas.
It is fallacious to assume that this is an economic bonanza that doesn't have far-reaching implications in terms of the health and welfare of communities throughout the county. Most specifically, the adolescent population.
A county report found that medical marijuana dispensaries are already disproportionately located in lower-income neighborhoods. That's on top of high concentrations of liquor stores. Supervisors agree to establish licensing guidelines for pot sellers that'll take into account the neighborhood's existing marijuana and alcohol sales, crime, and high school dropout rates.
I know that you don't mean to conflate that with some fault of this particular substance.
Supervisor Sheila Kuehl pushed back on the suggestion that marijuana is somehow to blame.
I mean, the greatest indicator of ill health is poverty. I want us to be smart about how we go about this. I certainly agree with this is not about money.
The measure also aims to seek grant funding for drug diversion education and other health-positive youth programs. LA County supervisors are set to consider a separate set of regulations for the business of selling pot next month, just days before recreational marijuana officially becomes legal in California. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
The nation's largest hepatitis A outbreak is continuing in California, with San Diego, Santa Cruz, and Los Angeles counties having declared local outbreaks. The California Department of Public Health also reports it has confirmed associated cases in other areas of California that are related with the three main outbreaks I just told you about. Joining us today is reporter Stephanie O'Neill, who has been covering this. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, John.
So let's begin with San Diego, where the nation's largest and deadliest outbreak of hepatitis A is continuing. What do we know as of, you know, right now?
Well, as of this week, San Diego County is reporting 544 mostly homeless people and illicit drug users having become infected with the virus. And the virus has so far killed 20 people there. That outbreak is far larger than the state's next biggest one, which is in Santa Cruz County, where as of this week, there are 76 confirmed cases and one probable case.
And we're seeing that this is also affecting feeding the homeless community.
Well, yeah, the city of El Cajon has made it illegal to serve meals to groups of homeless people in parks and other public spaces. And, you know, charities do that. They create these sort of potluck meals for folks, and they come in and they communicate with them and help them get services. So that's been banned, as has panhandling, sleeping on the sidewalk, and creating any kind of homeless encampment. The goal, the city says, is to stop the spread of the virus, which is typically caused when somebody ingests fecal matter from an infected person. And even little microscopic amounts can cause the virus to spread, according to the CDC. And so this can happen when people carrying the virus fail to wash their hands after defecating and then contaminate objects or food or water used by others. And in homeless encampments where there are a few toilets and sinks, it can really spread rapidly, which is what we've seen in most of these outbreaks nationwide.
And, you know, one of the keys to stopping the spread is a vaccine. There is a hepatitis A vaccine, but there seems to still be a shortage of it.
Right. So this rash of unexpected outbreaks in California and other regions of the nation and actually other countries has put the squeeze on vaccine supplies here and abroad. You know, like in San Diego County, about 91,000 people have received the first of the two-shot Hep A vaccines. So you can see how many vaccines are needed.
Reporter Stephanie O'Neill joining us to talk about the hepatitis A outbreak in California. Stephanie, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, advancing healthcare that works for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
Lisa Middleton made California history last night when she won a seat on the Palm Springs City Council. That's because soon-to-be Councilwoman Middleton is the first transgender person elected to a non-judicial office in California. Middleton ran as a reformer, and her election signals a complete cut from an influence-peddling scandal involving the former mayor of Palm Springs. Middleton is one of three transgender women to win election across the country last night. And that's been the California Report for Wednesday, November 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.